From the time he arrived in New York 3 decades earlier to begin his musical career, Meredith Willson frequently had his creative sibling, Dixie, his sister, only a few minutes away. While he was learning classical music, she was progressing with her accomplishments as a writer. After Frank Lesser suggested that Willson write a musical in 1949, the nostalgic Iowan began bandying ideas about. However, he could not come up with the basic catalyst to get the project going. 3 years later, Dixie mentioned that a story about a music professor might be the hook that the composer sought. By the time Meredith Willson changed the character to a band instrument salesman, he caught the interest of potential producers for The Music Man. One engaging character from Willson's memories of growing up in Iowa was based on a real person and came from Mason City's fledgling high school band and orchestra. The two organizations had been in existence only a short time when Meredith Willson and his brother joined as instrumentalists. After musing over the 1912 band photo that hung in his study, serving to haunt and goad the composer in those formative years of The Music Man, Meredith Willson began examining the picture more closely. First, he identified horn player Alvin Tank, and then he recalled the group's conductor, the German teacher whose limited musical knowledge came from playing the violin. Not only were the characters from the high school band incorporated into The Music Man, but also their practice habits became important plot elements. Anyone who welcomed the kids and their instruments into their Mason City homes soon learned to appreciate Beethoven's Minuet in G. This number frequently rounded out the rehearsals and performances. "The one piece we could always get through without stopping," Willson said. And it was subsequently enshrined as the practice song of the fictitious River City Band. Likewise, this was the number that Harold Hill actually did direct in lieu of being carried away in irons to the River City Jail. All this we learn from the study, Meredith Willson, America's Music Man, by Bill Oates. Strike up the band! That's The Call in another River City as The Music Man opens in Williamsport. '76 trombones is just the ticket. It was 1976 when the Community Theater League was founded, and the organization celebrates its 40th anniversary with a season that culminates with The Music Man, now through July 2nd. Seth Sponhouse directs, and Phil Veneta is the stage manager, and we had a chance to speak with them by phone about the production and the history of the Community Theater League.
The Community Theater League is actually celebrating its 40th season this year, so we're finishing off that milestone. We've been around the Williamsport area since 1976. We started as kind of a roaming theater group, performing in church basements and local hotels. And then we formally organized, became the Community Theater League, and then found a home over on Washington Boulevard. We were there in that home theater until around 2000, where we moved to our current location, 100 West 3rd Street in Williamsport, and recently expanded to multiple floors of that building when we added on our performing arts school. So we've been growing ever since 1976, and we hope to continue that for the next 40 years.
Your hearts, I'm sure, have always been involved in education and getting younger generations involved, but to be able to formalize it in this way is very exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. To educate has always been part of the mission statement ever since the beginning. We've had very successful programs with our Ray of Light Awards, which helped boost recognition of high school programs, and then as well as our summer camp programs, which started around 2009, have always been pretty successful in the summer. So we're ecstatic, just as you expressed, that we can formalize it during the school year.
Has Community Theater League always done a range of kinds of productions, dramatic plays, musicals, contemporary pieces, the classics?
Well, since the beginning, we've been focused on doing something for everyone. One of the very first shows was The Miracle Worker, which we're happy to bring back for our next season for the first time in several years. And then Once Upon a Mattress is a staple that we kind of come back to every once in a while. With our Sprouts programming, it's theater by kids for kids. And then we program in a farce, a comedy, a drama, a couple of musicals, usually one family friendly, and then some cutting edge works each season. And with the addition of our studio season this past year, we're now able to do smaller, more intimate productions that might get swallowed up on our main stage.
When planning a season, how was the choice made to do Music Man?
Well, I think that this season we really tried to target all of our audiences celebrating our 40th season. We kicked off with our musical of Addams Family. It was our first big musical. Before that was The Crucible. So we had a classic standard in there with The Crucible. Addams Family is a brand new musical that's just starting to be licensed out. So we kind of did our cutting edge with that. Our middle musical was actually Avenue Q. So that was a little bit more risque for our audiences, a little bit different than what we've done in the past, and people loved it. It had a phenomenal run of a lot of sold-out performances. And then we've had our classic farce that we always put into our seasons. And so we really were missing that wholesome American musical that grandparents and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and the whole family can come out to. And with a cast of about almost 50, we kind of have every age on the stage and we see every age in the audience, which is really exciting. So I think it did what it set out to do, which was pull in different audience range of the other musicals. It just gives us, as a sense of a community and theater, a chance to celebrate everything that we've done in the last 40 years.
So you need a stage manager, definitely, Phil.
This is a tight show. These classic musicals like to bounce all over the place and location. So it's been I call it a marathon each night for me backstage, as I'm constantly running from one place to the next. Our stage is not a traditional proscenium stage or a thrust stage. I'm kind of behind the stage and I'm in front of the stage, then I'm hiding in a tunnel for a little bit, and I have a phenomenal crew behind me of a couple parents and actually one of our cast members' boyfriends jumped in because he needed something to do for the summer. And then we have a lot of parents of the kids that are in the show are also around helping with wardrobe and making sure everybody's in costume and where they need to be when they need to be there. There's, I'd say, probably 10 to 15 of us behind stage each night, which is pretty exceptional for a show.
And Seth, why did you say, I'm up for this?
Well, I was hired 2015 as CTL's educational coordinator to tackle their after-school performing arts opportunities and classes. And so the idea of working with kids has always been exciting for me. My background is education. I have a degree from Millersville. When I first came to CTL as a director, it was for King and I, because they had a large child cast in that. And I guess my bubbly personality, they thought it would go well together. Or rather jolly, however you want to say it. But I think they saw that I work well with the children and the adults as well, together. I really like incorporating not only our seasoned veterans, but our fresh faces together in the scenes, so that we're always learning from each other and making each other look good. I think that's super important, especially at the community level, that there's a sense of ensemble and that relationship of I have your back, you have mine, that really works well on our stage and other stages across the area. So when Music Man came up, having played Winthrop in Music Man Jr. back in my elementary days, it was one that really kind of resonated with me. And I think, like, I speak to it in my director's note. Everyone has a Music Man memory of either performing it in high school or the junior version in middle school or the first time they saw it on Broadway or they saw the Robert Preston movie or the Matthew Broderick movie. I think everyone has a Music Man memory or a relationship with one of the songs that are so memorable, 76 Trombones, Till There Was You. I think there's a lot of connection for everyone with this particular show. So it's more of a let's do it together rather than I'm up for this. Because if you just say it in black and white that it's going to be about 50 people, over 100 costumes, scene changes out the wazoo during songs, the whole nine yards, it's a little daunting. But when you look at it with a phenomenal team like Phil and Theo Lentz, who came on as music director, and Katie Conklin, who came on as choreographer, Andre Phillips as production manager, and Judy, who handled our costumes, all of those people really made the workload extremely light, and I think with that kind of team, you're able to tackle a show like this. So it was exciting the whole time, which is nice.
You all have community in your title, Community Theater League, and this is certainly a story about a community and what happens when there's some negativity introduced. Tell us about what you think this piece might say to us today in our sophisticated world with digital this and digital that. Why would we want to keep coming back to a story like this?
Well, one thing that I spoke with the cast, it's a nice escapism for everyone that comes to the show and that comes to be a part of the show, that they can forget about their cell phones, you can forget about the workload, and you can forget about the constant screen that's always in front of us throughout the day, and just enjoy a nice, heartwarming story. I mean, in the end, it boils down to a love story, and I think everyone, male, female, old, young, can kind of buy into that. You get lost in the fact of this traveling con man who's an entertainer, who knows that he can get his way if he dances enough, and he finally meets his match with this librarian where he never thought he would. So I think that whole fantasy can get really entertaining and can get really intriguing. I think it speaks to that in our time today, sometimes we need that. You need those 2.5 hours of positivity compared to the 22.5 hours of negativity that might be swirling around you. I think, especially in our region, there are pockets of people that necessarily don't feel either represented or spoken for, or don't feel a sense of community. And I think that the theater or movies even, or books or TV shows, give that sense to them. And I think the fact that it's a live theater performance and that the story is right in front of you and that the audience is following along with you, sitting in a dark audience with 170 people, there's a sense of I'm going on this journey and we're all going on it together and let's see what happens. Even if you know the ending, let's pretend like we don't and let's buy into the story. And I think there's something really rewarding in that for audience members. And I think that it's very palpable in our audience, being that it's an intimate setting. And I think that once you get it as an actor, you always want to chase that. I think you always want to go back to it and get that audience feedback.
You really have expressed the power of live theater, that shared experience and that creation of community just for those hours that we're together and the laughter bubbles up and we're singing along with these songs that we know and love under our breath and things like that.
We have plenty of singing along and clapping coming out of audience members who don't necessarily realize they're doing it. But it's pretty great when it does happen, and then they catch themselves and then they realize it's okay to hum along or tap your foot. And that's fun for them, which is great.
What are you hearing from the cast that they love that experience of delivering that opportunity to people across the footlights?
With this production, we actually have about 13 people making their debuts on our stage, some of whom have never had any interaction with theater at all before. And on our 2 days off this week between our Sunday night performance and we have a little brush-up rehearsal tonight, some people have said that they miss it already. And because they get such a high or a rush from these 2.5 hours of storytelling that they get to do that are so different from their desk jobs or from being a stay-at-home parent or from being a student who has picked up a fast food job for the summer, that there's just something beautiful and touching about being able to share the sense of community with the cast themselves and with the audience each night. And a couple nights ago, we had a woman in the audience who saw the original production on Broadway, and she mentioned, you know, that although our production is quite different, certain things have had to be updated for the modern times a little bit in casting and in language, that even though we were so different, it was still a beautiful and touching story that in a lot of ways timeless, that the cast is tapping into and able to find their own little home in the show, that they're eager and willing and excited to share throughout the next couple of weeks.
Can we say the music in The Music Man is actually part of the storyline? That music can bring people together, a community together, in powerful ways, just as theater can?
Absolutely. I think Meredith Wilson did a very, very intentional job at portraying these stiffy, stuffy Iowans at the beginning very simply. I mean, they come out and they do a very blunt song of you gotta give Iowa a try. Even musically written, it's very simple. By the end of the show, we get these either large dance breaks at the end of the first act where the teen ensemble is dancing for about 8 minutes long, or we get these beautiful orchestrations in the beginning of the entr'acte going into act two. We see this complicated score coming out. So we see this development of the music, and we see that mirrored in the people that Harold Hill is impacting in their lives. I mean, it's directly expressed throughout the character of Winthrop. We get this very quiet, in fact, a child with a disability who by the end of the show is a soloist in the band. So we see this complete transformation, not only in this one child, but in this entire town.
Music is a beautiful universal language that even if you can't speak the tongue of the people around you, the melodies and the tones are something that you can replicate with one another. And I think it's really insightful that Harold comes in brash and excitable with 76 trombones, and Marion, her first song is Goodnight My Someone, where she's very thoughtful and introspective. And by the end of the show, they've taken on each other's melodies. When Harold sings Till There Was You, and she sings part of 76 trombones, that their melodies kind of intertwine with each other, and they can't help but fall in love through the music is the first language that they can speak in common with each other before they can even understand one another as people.
When I love the folktale of when Meredith Willson was writing it, Goodnight My Someone wasn't even in the show. And they said that Marion needed a song.
Yeah.
And so he took the 76 trombone melody and gave it to her and slowed it down as a ballad. So I think, like Phil was saying, I mean, the music is great. It's timeless.
How many times and how can we see it?
Well, you absolutely want to see this cast. I mean, it's one of, like I said, one of the largest at CTL, on CTL stage mm-hmm. in our 40-year history. It's starring Sarah Decker, who is a Williamsport native, Steve Aguirre from Lewisburg area, two very fine professional performers. Tickets are on sale at ctlshows.com or by calling our box office at 570-327-1777.
With performances from the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th at 7:30, the 25th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's a Sunday matinee, and then again next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 29th through the 1st at 7:30, and we close on July 2nd at 2 o'clock.
Going up to that all-American holiday.
Which actually kicks off the first scene of The Music Man is on the 4th of July.
Seth Sponhouse, CTL Education Coordinator, Director of The Music Man, and Phil Veneta, he is Office Administrator at CTL and the Stage Manager for the production, speaking with us about The Music Man that opens this evening and runs through July 2nd at the Community Theater League, 100 West 3rd Street in Williamsport. June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th at 7:30 p.m., a Sunday matinee at 2, June 25th. And then all over again, June 29th and 30th at 7:30, July 1st, also in the evening at 7:30, and July 2nd at 2. Community Theater League presenting The Music Man by Meredith Willson at 100 West 3rd Street in Williamsport. For more information on the web, ctlshows.com, ctlshows.com.